Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, August 11th, 2026. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. All evacuation orders lifted for the three Spokane wildfires. Out-of-state law enforcement and ICE could access the Twin Falls Flock camera system, despite Idaho law preventing local police from doing certain searches. And Lewiston Civic Theater cancels musical play Rocky Horror Picture Show after anonymous letter claiming the play is obscene. Also, Moscow Committee approves plan for traffic light south of Moscow and US 95. Well, details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Spokane County Sheriff's Office has lifted all evacuation orders for the three Spokane wildfires that ripped through the area August 1st as of 2 p.m. today. The fires are still smoldering, and firefighters will continue with mop-up inside the fire zones, and others will continue with damage assessments and utility work. The Spokesman Review website reports officials say there may still be hazardous substances in the burn area, and those returning to their homes or the remains of their homes should wear protective equipment, which is available at the Shadel Park High School Disaster Assistance Center. Many remaining structures the fires damaged have not been assessed for structural stability and may be in danger of collapsing. Spokane County Health Officer Francisco Velasquez said the goal of this order is to remove barriers to recovery, reduce health risks, and help affected communities to move safely and efficiently to rebuilding. Officials with the Mann Grand Staff Veterans Administration Medical Center, which was in the evacuation zone, said the center will resume full operations tomorrow. The center evacuated staff and 27 patients on August 1st and had begun reopening today after 10 days closed. Workers at the VA hospital were deep cleaning the hospital and restocking the hospital and the on-campus clinics today. Washington Governor Bob Ferguson secured a federal emergency declaration from Trump within a couple days of the fires, and he is now working on a major disaster declaration application to the federal government, which he plans to submit in mid-September. A major disaster declaration would unlock federal assistance for individuals and local governments for public infrastructure. According to the Spokesman Review, Ferguson said, "I'm very aware that these major disaster declarations are not always granted, and so we are determined to make our case as compelling as possible." The application process will also help local governments assess the damage and may help if they have to ask for financial assistance from the state government after the legislature reconvenes in January. Washington Public Lands Commissioner Dave Upthegrove said Monday he expects his agency will face historic fire suppression costs. Upthegrove said, "Investing up front in the prevention and preparation work is one of the ways long term to lower those suppression costs. We've seen the benefits of investments that have been supported by the legislature and the governor, and moving forward, it's going to be important to continue to expand that work." DFLOC Idaho has obtained public records that show out-of-state agencies searched the Twin Falls Police Department's network of license plate reader cameras 631 times between March and June for immigration-related purposes. FLOC Safety's network of cameras is only open for nationwide searches by local law enforcement if the local law enforcement opens up their cameras to other agencies to search in most cases. Idaho code prohibits local police from using FLOC's license plate reader cameras for immigration enforcement purposes, But the fact that out-of-state agencies have access to Twin Falls police camera networks and other police systems around Idaho means the intent of that law is being skirted. The Idaho Capital Sun reports cross-jurisdictional data sharing is a major incentive for police agencies to enter into contracts with Flock. After DFLOC Idaho revealed the searches on the Twin Falls network, Twin Falls Police Administrative Services Division Lieutenant Stephen Gassert told the Idaho Capital Sun the police department has changed the sharing settings on their network of cameras and no longer allows outside agencies to search their system. Gassert said, "We want to make sure that we are being respectful of our citizens' views and opinions on this while still seeing the importance of technology when it comes to modern policing in our community." He said the information sharing happens automatically, meaning data identifying suspects would be shared with the requesting agency regardless of manual local input. Idaho Falls Police Department Public Information Officer Jessica Clements said when a suspect leaves the area, they want to have the opportunity to follow up and catch them on a camera in another area. Clements said, "And on the reverse, when someone who has a warrant or who is a danger to the public enters our area, we get notification of that as well."
Programming on KRFP is sponsored in part by Stop Northwest Gas Expansion, an alliance committed to exposing the truth about the harms to our health and safety caused by toxic and explosive natural gas, and preventing these harms by stopping the expansion of gas supply, including increases in gas pipeline pressure.
KRFP is also sponsored by Rembrandt Tree Care, family owned and operated since 1977. A conscientious approach to urban forestry with year-round tree service on the Palouse and surrounding areas. You can reach Rembrandt Tree Care at 509-330-0699.
The Trump administration's efforts to deregulate nuclear safety and environmental standards do not bode well for the cleanup operation at the Hanford nuclear site on the Columbia River, according to a new report. The nearly 600-square-mile site holds highly radioactive waste from nuclear arms production that spanned from World War II until 1989. Simone Antor is with Columbia Riverkeeper, the group behind the report. She says it looks at how removing safety and environmental standards will impact cleanup at the most contaminated site in the Western Hemisphere as the Trump administration pushes to build new small modular nuclear reactors there.
To say they're safe, it's a different type of nuclear, is simply not true. They create high-level nuclear waste, which is a huge problem at the Hanford nuclear site now. We don't know how to deal with our high-level nuclear waste.
The Trump administration says it's streamlining deployment of next-generation advanced reactors, largely to generate more electricity for data centers. It calls the effort a nuclear renaissance. Antor says the report focuses on an area near Richland, Washington, where plutonium production began, which is now being eyed for new reactors. She says a uranium plume is contaminating groundwater and reaching the Columbia River there. There's also severe pollution under the parking lot of the Columbia Generating Station, the Northwest's only operating nuclear plant. Antor says while there has been some progress in the cleanup, there's significant pollution and radioactivity that may be permanent.
This is some of these questions that our report asks. Can this type of nuclear waste ever be cleaned up? Do we need to be looking at the cleanup more as babysitting nuclear waste for the foreseeable future?
Antor adds the report is designed to be accessible whether people are new to the Hanford cleanup process or already familiar with it. She says it offers a roadmap of questions to guide conversations, perfect for teachers, students, or anyone curious about the site. I'm Isabel Charlet, Washington News Service.
The Moscow City Council's Public Works Finance Committee yesterday afternoon recommended approval of a plan to help fund a traffic signal on U.S. Highway 95 on the south side of Moscow sometime in the next 5 to 10 years. The committee recommended the full City Council approve a cooperative agreement with the Idaho Transportation Department to convey fees the city collects from the developers of the South Moscow Business Park for installation of the traffic signal. The developer, 2GM, has an agreement with the city to pay part of the cost of installing the traffic signal at the intersection of Somo Drive and U.S. Highway 95 at Reisenauer Road. City staffer Linda Cole presented the traffic signal plan to the committee.
This is a cooperative agreement for future traffic signal installation with SOMO at SOMO Drive and Highway 95. So through the SOMO development process, the city established a development agreement with the developer and thus with ITD to install a future signal at this intersection. SEL would be on the western leg of this. ITD would have the two legs and then the city and SOMO on the eastern leg. The proportionate share agreement from ITD was estimated at $64,284. We're serving as SOMO's bank for all intent and purposes. They'll deposit the funds to the city. We will hold them until ITD is ready to install the signal, and then we will provide that funding to ITD. That is all there is. We're just asking for you to approve the cooperative agreement for us to collect and hold those funds.
The Moscow City Council's Public Works Finance Committee put the agreement on the consent agenda for next Monday night's City Council meeting. The Lewiston Civic Theater has canceled planned stage performances of the Rocky Horror Picture Show for its 2026 to 2027 season because an anonymous person sent a letter to the City Council and the Lewiston School District claiming the musical play is obscene. The Rocky Horror Picture Show is not obscene, although it does feature non-gender conforming characters. The one-page unsigned letter was from someone who claimed to be an active member and supporter of the theater. The letter implied the Civic Theater had been dependent on the city of Lewiston and the Lewiston School District for its existence, and therefore production of what the writer called an obscene play would be an inappropriate use of taxpayer support. The letter claimed there were potential questions and legal ramifications because of the, quote, possible underage crew and actors. Lewiston Civic Theater Selection Committee member Cindy Zeliff said the theater group had already decided nobody younger than 18 would be allowed to participate as an actor or crew member in the production of that particular musical. That also applied to another play the Civic Theater is putting on later this season called Chicago. Lewiston Civic Theater Executive Director Nancy McIntosh told the Lewiston Tribune, "We're just trying to stay ahead of something that might be controversial. We're not really in a position to deal with a controversy because we're renting a space from the school district. We don't want to be in the middle of, I guess, a culture war." McIntosh said the Civic Theater will instead produce a stage production of the Agatha Christie mystery, And Then There Were None, in October. Zaliff expressed disappointment that the theater board had voted to back off on staging the play. She said, "I think they would have a lot of support if they fought that battle. They very much assumed there was going to be a battle." McIntosh said the Civic Theater's vote to cancel production of the Rocky Horror Picture Show was unanimous.
7 in 10 Americans say they support unions and worker interest in joining them is at historic highs, but just 1 in 10 are currently members. Most of the 50 million people in Wyoming and across the nation who say they want a union contract can't get one due to federal and state labor laws, according to a new Economic Policy Institute report. Co-author Heidi Shearholtz with the Economic Policy Institute says tripling the number of union members would bring widespread benefits, including boosting public schools, expanding access to health care, and increasing wages to help families pay for the rising cost of just about everything.
Almost every conversation about affordability focuses entirely on prices, as if the only way to make life more affordable is to make things things cheaper, but affordability depends on both prices and pay.
For decades, corporations have warned Americans about the potential costs of joining a union, including dues workers have to pay and the risk of losing jobs if companies can't stay competitive. Amazon, Starbucks, and others invest millions in union avoidance strategies and make the case to their workers that companies are best positioned to take care of their own. Corporations have also successfully lobbied Congress and state legislatures to pass laws that make it much harder to form or join a union. The report calls for reforming those laws. AFL-CIO President Liz Schuler represents some 15 million workers. She says tripling union membership is not a pipe dream. More than one in three private sector workers belong to a union in the 1950s.
Back in the 1950s, when frankly our wages were actually growing along with the economy, and when economic growth meant that all of us won, not just the billionaires.
Shearholtz notes if wages had kept up with productivity gains since the 1950s, average worker paychecks would be 40% bigger than they are today. Shearholtz says making it possible for more workers to join a union could help address some of today's biggest challenges.
Rebuilding union density would raise wages, shrink racial wage gaps, expand health coverage, strengthen communities, and protect our democracy all at the same time. There is no other policy lever that does all of that.
This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Wyoming News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. The National Weather Service has an air advisory in effect for central and eastern Washington until further notice. The air quality alert is for particulate matter, which may reach very unhealthy levels for areas directly downwind from active wildfires. Other areas may reach unhealthy for sensitive groups, or worse, intermittent clearing may occur due to windy conditions, but smoke production continues to be significant. When air quality is unhealthy, everyone should reduce exposure, limit time outside, avoid strenuous outdoor activity, and follow tips for cleaner indoor air. When air quality is very unhealthy, everyone should reduce exposure, stay inside, and filter indoor air to keep it cleaner, or go elsewhere for cleaner air if needed. The Idaho Department of Environmental Quality also has an air quality alert in effect for Clearwater, Latah, Nez Perce, Idaho, and Lewis counties. Forecast for the Moscow Pullman area is calling for widespread haze before 8 p.m., mostly clear tonight, low 49. Areas of smoke tomorrow between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. Otherwise sunny, high 84. Increasing clouds, low 47 Wednesday night. And Thursday through Friday, clear skies, highs 82 Thursday and 85 on Friday, with a low of 47 on Thursday night. Currently 82 degrees. Idaho Department of Environmental Quality real-time air monitoring shows the air quality in Moscow at this hour is moderate, and the air quality at all the stations in north central Idaho and northern Idaho is moderate at this hour. The Washington Department of Ecology real-time air monitoring shows the air quality is moderate at this hour in Pullman, also moderate in Clarkston and Spokane. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843, or you can go to KRFP.org website. Find more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business or nonprofit supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option and a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good night. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. And at 7:30, Rude Awakenings on the air. to discuss the state of the planet, and we'll have a Brent Bent Memorial Show at 9:30, cassettes from his old radio shows back in the day, and at 11 o'clock on the air will be Sons of Patriarchy. That's all coming up, KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Programming on KRFP is made possible in part by support from KRFP members and
John's Alley Tavern, Moscow's home of live music. John's Alley is located at 114 East 6th Street in downtown Moscow.
Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by Friends of the Clearwater, a 501c3 environmental nonprofit dedicated to protecting your public lands. FOC is defending the wildlands, wildlife, and waterways of North Central Idaho for future generations. Friendsoftheclearwater.org.
Are you being flocked? I'm Bill Newman for the Civil Liberties Minute. Flock, headquartered in Atlanta, operates a nationwide, in every state but Alaska, surveillance vehicle tracking system of some 120,000 license plate reading car identifying cameras. 120,000 cameras! Cameras that allow law enforcement to see where your car is and has been, and to share that information. According to the New York Times, 40% of the nation's police departments have contracts with Flock. And what distinguishes Flock from other automobile surveillance systems is that it is a searchable nationwide network. Nationwide because a police department that wants information and images from across the state or country must agree to share its images and information. And most law enforcement agencies do exactly that. If this strikes you as Big Brother in action, you are not alone. A citizens organization called DFLOC is identifying and publicizing the location of Flock's cameras online. And some municipalities, at their residents' insistence, have terminated their contracts with Flock, although others still are continuing to sign up. The Times wrote that, quote, the opposition to Flock includes liberals concerned about surveillance, conservatives skeptical of expanding state power, and privacy-conscious citizens and lawmakers concerned about how, notwithstanding some state guardrails and limitations, the network can be abused. And so, the Flock fight has just begun. The Civil Liberties Minute is made possible by the ACLU, because freedom can't protect itself.